We're just getting warmed up here with earnings season. We talked about JP Morgan and Delta numbers, but we're not done. BlackRock reported its numbers as well this morning. Assets under management down slightly to $9.46 trillion. As you see there, the company's earnings per share and revenue did beat estimates. And CEO Larry Fink has really emphasized ESG for BlackRock, and that's something he talked about in the company's statement as well. Demand for ESG remains strong, with $31 billion of inflows across our sustainable active and index strategies. Although when you're talking about $31 billion of inflows and the company's overall assets under management are $9.46 trillion, you see there that there's still a long ways to go when it comes to ESG strategies for the company and for the industry more broadly. Nonetheless, you know, this like what we saw to some extent for JP Morgan, even though assets under management fell slightly, still illustrates the sort of robustness of people investing right now, and not just people, but pension funds and asset managers and the like, Brian.
Yeah, we also saw that within JP Morgan's wealth management business. I mean, sales in that business up 21% year over year. But I look at BlackRock's stock price. It's up about 2.5% in the pre-market. JP Morgan a little under pressure, Delta under pressure. So far, to kick off this earnings season, BlackRock is the winner. The market likes what it is hearing from a BlackRock. It is the third trending ticker on the Yahoo Finance platform right now. Now, if I did have to throw any red flag in this quarter, it's on costs, and it's just a drum I will continue to beat this earnings season. Operating margins for BlackRock, 45.8% in the most recent quarter, 47% last year. Whether that's having to pay people more, it costing more to keep the lights on at their various headquarters, whatever it is, there's inflation there in these investment banks and asset managers like a BlackRock, and it showed up in their profit margins.
Yes, although interestingly, to take the other side of it a little bit, yesterday, of course, we talked to an analyst at Jefferies, their head of sustainability strategy, who mentioned that, you know, maybe we should be looking at those kinds of costs as a feature, not a bug. In other words, if you are investing in something with human capital, so-called, as one of your criteria, and it's a firm that not only pays well, but has a broader corporate culture that is good for employees, that could be a sign you actually want to buy something. And you shouldn't be as concerned perhaps about the margin. So just to flip that on its head a little bit, I thought that was a really interesting point that he made yesterday, Brian.
I appreciate your upbeatness. You know, can't always be Brian the Bear here. You know, I appreciate it.
All right, let's talk about something, though, that maybe is not upbeatness this morning. And that was a report that we got on Apple late yesterday. It was sourced by Bloomberg, citing people familiar with the matter, saying the company is likely to slash iPhone 13 production targets for 2021 because of the chip shortage. Now, Apple, as we know, has been pretty resistant to that chip shortage, has managed to keep its supply chain pretty intact. That, though, may be changing. Maybe it is not immune to that. So 90 million new iPhones is what the company had projected to manufacture in the last quarter of the year. But again, according to this report, it's now telling some of its partners that the total is going to be lower. Some of its suppliers, like Broadcom, like Texas Instruments, are having trouble delivering the components it needs. What's interesting here, Brian, is you would think that this would be bad news for those Apple shares, but we're not seeing that much of a reaction, perhaps because they've pulled back a decent amount already.
Surprised it's not, you're not seeing a bigger sell-off in Apple, and it did sell off a little bit more when the news hit the wires a couple hours ago or yesterday afternoon, I believe. Interesting note, though, by Goldman Sachs' Rod Hall, pointing this out that, quote, "It remains our belief that Apple will find it increasingly hard to grow revenues and may well experience declining revenues for a period as the company laps positive COVID effects." So I know that the stock is not selling off a ton right now, but even still, I mean, there are concerns, at least for Apple, over the next couple quarters because of these supply chain disruptions.
Yes, most definitely. It's something we should continue to watch and continue to watch those component suppliers and those manufacturing partners for Apple, like the chip makers I mentioned, and a broader swath of them as well. We got the opening bell here this morning coming up in about 10 seconds, and Ashford is ringing the opening bell this morning. It's a hospitality and travel company, so they're ringing. Maybe we have some of those early indications on some of those chip makers we were talking about to see how they are trading as we get underway here this morning, even if Apple itself was not feeling a big negative effect. I know that yesterday we saw Micron shares, for example, sell off. By the way, our opening bell coverage is brought to you by PIMCO. And then in terms of some of the others, speaking of chip makers, we're also watching Qualcomm, and that's because that company announced a new buyback authorization, $10 billion worth. I know you saw some research about Qualcomm as well this morning.
Yeah, Qualcomm really dropping the hammer here on the stock buyback. Wow. But look, yeah, a good note out of Deutsche Bank talking about this buyback, really voicing their confidence in Qualcomm continuing to focus on diversifying its revenue. You know, we've talked to new CEO Cristiano Amon a few times and really learning about his efforts to push deeper into the car and other lines of business. But the street is liking what it is hearing from Qualcomm, that it can return this type of cash to investors, even while it diversifies out of its core chip business here, is a good positive flag. I wouldn't be surprised to see more positive notes off of this development.
Right. And just looking at some of the chips there, they are not seeing a negative ripple effect from that Apple news, at least not as we get underway this morning. Qualcomm, though, is trading higher by about 2.3%. And we have in general seen pretty good resilience in terms of the chip stocks in the face of what has been going on for shortages in this environment. Before we go to break, just want to quickly check on some of the big earnings reports that we covered at the top of the show, namely JP Morgan and Delta. As we talked about, JP Morgan coming in, beating estimates, as our Brian Chung outlined for us, it was really on the fee side, on the investment banking side, that the company's strength was shown, having to do with a lot of mergers and acquisition advisory fees. On the flip side, the commercial loan growth is still not back in business. And then Delta, that company, you can see trading lower by about 2.8%, even though it posted a profit here, warned about rising jet fuel costs. That could be weighing on the shares. Again, we're going to hear from our Adam Shapiro's conversation with Ed Bastian coming up in just a little bit.